Yes.
So you're asking me the question again? What was it? What was the question?
Yeah, well, how do you think we can break the anti-white mentality?
I believe we are breaking that anti-white mentality now by being on a consistent message, posting the mantra, and staying on message. And I see it having an effect. And I see some of the efforts to try and discredit us from inside recently as even more proof of that. Our job really is, I'm always very weary of internal politics or social politics. Just get out there into the real world and post the mantra and stay on message. And that's what we're doing, and see it having an effect.
Yes, I think that's the most important thing we can do is just find somewhere to post it, and then post it, and get new people to read it, new white people to read it, who haven't read it before. So,
Yeah,
and
yeah, and basically stop looking inward, because for that, my personal opinion is for like 30 or 40 years, our side tends to have looked inwards,
yeah, we're talking to other
and it's,
dissidents, as Horace said.
I even got a remark on my YouTube channel how my videos were not very academic and I should read more books, and I got a list of. I haven't got it in front of me right now. I can't remember exactly what was said. I just didn't really pay much attention. But I was given a recommendation list of books to read up on, to be fully aware of. It's. I think the expression is to fight fire with fire, cut one diamond with another diamond. We're arguing with. I think Horace said it best. This is the politics of the playground. This is na 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 na. And I mean some of the stupid nonsense that we're being hit with, and you can read all the books you want, but it's far better just to point to the crime being committed. I don't need to read a book on car crime if my car gets stolen. I know what theft is.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for using that analogy again. I have to
Yeah.
think of a new analogy. Doesn't involve having your car nicked.
Yeah, but you're right. When they say who is white, they don't really want to read. They don't want to know. The only thing they want to say is, well, we can't define white people, and so if we have a policy that destroys white people, it isn't really genocide because the white race doesn't really exist, so we don't really do anything wrong here, not really being anti-white. They're not interested in race or understanding it.
Yeah, but again, it's about staying on message. That argument's used in all white countries, it's just a code word for anti-white, and I'm just doing it off the top of my head. I could probably think of a more specific reply. It's still on message, but it could actually to tackle that actual argument head on. The point of the matter is, it's about staying on message. A lot of things that Bob writes, and I pick up on it, and he covers a lot of stuff, but he does quite a lot point out the inbred stupidity of the academic world. And it's very much in the book, Why Johnny Can't Think. And what I read into that, and it's just my opinion, is we've got to stop taking these fools too seriously. We've got to stop doing that. And if you get some professor or someone who's got a been to college and they come up with some stupid argument, there's only one race, the human race. You don't waste your time trying to explain about genetics. Just very, very, very simple. Off the top of my head, a quick answer. Okay, who committed the Holocaust? Now, what are they going to say? Oh, a non-existent social construct committed the Holocaust against some other non-existent social construct which doesn't really exist because everybody bleeds red.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
that's just off the top of my head, but that's an example of treating these people with contempt, not taking them seriously.
yeah, or just saying something like, well, in the real world, white people are blamed for Holocaust, slavery, colonization, discrimination, racism. You don't seem to have any problems identifying white people then, and then making a point, just referring to the real world, what's happening, and everyone knows who is white. So another thing is, some people say that it's a conspiracy theory, that white genocide is just a conspiracy theory. Have you heard that before?
I hear many kinds like that, and to me, and maybe there's other ways or better ways, but to me, just ask them to use Google. You know, Google, Article 2C, 1948, Geneva Convention on Genocide.
Yeah, yeah.
And just thrown at them over and over and over again. You know, if they're not going to, if they're going to sit there and go na 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 and act stupid, yeah, don't waste your time. Just, you know, Google. Just give them the, and hopefully people reading the exchange, obviously the anti-white's not going to do it, that's why they're anti-white, but, you know, people might just actually...
For
the audience, you know.
And it's a mentality. It's not really a conspiracy that they're knowingly want to destroy white people. It's just a mentality they have to always choose the policy that, you know, in quotes, happens to lead towards white genocide.
Yeah, by some amazing coincidence.
Yeah. And that's their mentality. They're always looking for this explanation where they can sit back and say, oh no, I'm not anti-white. I just happen to be fighting for freedom. And freedom just happens to lead to a world without white people. But that wasn't my intention.
Yeah, a good little thing on a positive note, I understand that can be very infuriating when anti-whites is basically just plain idiot savant, pretending to just not have a real opinion. But in reality, anybody posting on a sort of racially motivated website, you know. But the point I'm trying to make is, it's because of the mantra. It's because of calling these people anti-white repeatedly, over and over again, that they've had to back down. You know, that it's actually a small victory. That was obviously, if you like, it's one battle won, but one battle doesn't win the war. I think Bob pointed it out just recently. This is where you get to when you actually, I forget how he worded it, but basically, when you start to take the fight back to the enemy and stop trying to justify things and you know, call them anti-white, post the mantra, point to the crime being committed.
Yeah.
And then
just you get all to the real world.
Yes. And then you know, so-called warriors will start to change tact and sort of go into their little shell. So it really is a victory. It's only one battle, but it's a victory, I think, for our side at least. It shows that it's working.
Yeah, and I see a lot of people saying that anti-racists are hypocritical. You probably heard that yourself. And if you look upon anti-racists as objectively against racism, they will seem very hypocritical. But if you look upon them as just being anti-white, they're 100% consistent. Yeah. Because everything they say is anti-white, so
exactly.
Yeah.
It's exactly it. I'm trying to think of a better analogy. We use this one over and again, but like when anti-whites pretend that they don't recognize race, and then they blame white people for slavery. Now, that might seem on the surface to be hypocritical, or there's another word for it, or contradictory. If you think of them as being genuine people who are really against racism, there is some kind of contradiction there. If you don't see the existence of white people, you don't recognize the existence of white people when we talk about whites becoming a minority in Europe, and then at the same time you can turn around and clearly identify white people as a distinct racial ethnic group when it comes to blaming them for the Holocaust and slavery. On the surface, that appears like a contradiction. But if you sit back and actually realize that these people really are just brainwashed anti-whites, then what sounds contradictory is actually very, very consistent.
Yes.
Yeah, it's entirely consistent for somebody who is anti-white to clearly identify white people when blaming them for all the bad things in the world, and at the same time denying the existence of white people when actual genocide is pointed out to them. It's entirely consistent with somebody who's just a brainwashed anti-white so-and-so.
Yeah, I agree. And if you know, every so-called anti-racist argument, if you take it as a single case, that there will seem genuine. It will seem like, he just believes that. But when you add them together, you will see what they're all boiling down to is no more white people.
Exactly, exactly. And they always try and play the trick of tricking you into, you know, they'll point to some, we've always covered it, they'll point to some lone black family living in Manchester or Oslo or Chicago and try and make out this all about this one family of black immigrants.
Yeah. Just one micro thing. They don't want to see the whole picture. They don't want to see the mantra. They want to talk about a black girl, you know, fleeing her home country. So.
Yeah, who just happened to pass over 15 or 20 other countries to get to the first white country she got to.
Yeah. And, you know, before on Stormfront, people were talking about IQ and saying that we shouldn't have African immigration or Arabic immigration because they have so low IQ.
Yeah.
And when anti-whites, you know, they didn't believe in that. They said, you know, because it shows white people with a higher IQ. And they don't want to talk about that. So they denied these, you know, just, oh, these are racist papers or racist professors or white people make the tests and therefore white people score higher and that type of argument. But then they actually read it and then they found out that Asians actually have higher IQ than white people, at least East Asians.
On average.
Yeah.
Yeah, on average.
On average. And then they started saying, oh, maybe we should have immigration because of the IQ. Because Asians have so high IQ. So then they found a way of being anti-white, and then they become interested in IQ.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to the point that you made originally. On the surface, if you take these people seriously and you really believe that they're just genuine people against racism, that sounds very inconsistent. How can you one minute deny IQ as a real science and the next minute and actually endorse it? But when you think that they're actually just anti-white, what appears on the surface to be inconsistent is actually very, very consistent. And another one that they use, I don't know if you've heard it in Norway, but if you haven't, it'll be coming your way soon. Anti-whites arguing that, if you marry your sister, it's inbreeding and it's bad for the gene pool, therefore we all have to mix because we'll create a better race of people who are more resistant to disease and stuff like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they,
embrace
eugenics and some kind of mixed master race theory to push the same agenda.
They have never been interested in the best, being in favor of having a better genetics for the white race. No, they've never been interested in genetics. But they became interested when they found out they could justify assimilation and intermarriage.
Yeah.
Then they became very interested in eugenics and good race, and you have to really think about who you marry. And you're not against inbreeding. it's so consistent.
It's amazing how they put this in. I remember a few years ago, there's a kind of a professor. He appears on British TV quite a bit. I can't remember his name. He's obviously some brainwashed idiot. But I was watching I like to watch documentaries, science and stuff like that, and there's a science documentary about the jet engine, the invention of the jet engine. Now, how did they manage to twist an anti-white message into this documentary about the jet engine? Let me explain. there's a real interesting documentary, if you like science, stuff like that, all about jet engines, how it was invented, and blah, a lot of stuff. And at the very end of the documentary, they go to Finland, and they show you this little blonde Finnish baby in Finland, in this little village in Finland. And the baby has some kind of spine deformity. And they show you this little blonde, blue-eyed, small baby, all crippled up with a deformed spine. And it shows you the blonde Finnish mother. And she basically married a blonde Finnish guy, white Finnish guy, from the same village. And this village has, in the actual gene pool, there is this deformed gene that maybe one in every 100 babies born in this village will have. So she was a white Finnish girl. She married this white Finnish guy from the same village, and they had a child with a genetic deformity. Then it showed you this other blonde, blue-eyed Finnish girl, and she married Ahmed. And Ahmed came from North Africa. And then it showed you this little, very healthy, mixed-race child with brown skin and black hair running around the living room, all healthy. And because of the jet engine, you see, because of the jet engine, Ahmed moved from his little village in Africa to this little village in Finland. And now this Finnish woman, she got to mix her genes with Ahmed. And it showed you the contrast between this healthy little mixed race baby and contrasted it to this white baby that had a genetic deformity.
Yeah.
And this is meant to be a documentary about the invention of the jet engine. You don't need me to explain that to you folks. You know, just don't marry your sister. It's not a good idea. But
yeah, you know, that's just how they think. They have to be anti-white. They have to come up with these crazy things.
Yeah.
You know, I was discussing, or a friend of mine in Sweden, he asked some anti-white on some forum, what do you think about an African who protests massive Chinese immigration into his nation? And this anti-white said, well, you know, yeah, I think he's an African patriot. And then he asked, what do you think about the white Swede who protests massive Arabic immigration into Sweden? And then, you know, silence. And, well, I'm not talking about Swedes and Arabs. We are talking about Africans and Asians.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
Then he saw what he was doing, and that would imply maybe that he would also call this white Swede a patriot, but he wouldn't do that. So
yeah.
And another, some years ago, I was kind of new to the mantra, so I just posted it, and then I started arguing, and someone says, well, could you prove race? No, come up with some definition of race. And back then, I just tried to find some definition, because I don't really knew how to argue it.
Mm-hmm.
Some definition he found said that the people of India actually belong to the Caucasian race.
Yeah, yeah.
And therefore, if he said, if I'm interested in race, then we should all marry Indians.
Yeah.
So he found a way to be anti-white, and he went for it. That's how they are. They have this, you know, force, or they're always looking for this, some kind of argument to justify no more white people. And another example is Zimbabwe, where, you know, some years ago, white people ruled Zimbabwe, and a lot of these so-called human rights activists were protesting wildly against white people oppressing black people. Now that black people are oppressing white people, there are no human rights activists anywhere.
Yeah.
Have you seen them? Have you seen...
No, there was a thing where some of the white farmers from Zimbabwe were applying for asylum in Britain. and a lot of them were knocked back. And I haven't got the facts right in front of me, so I'm working from memory, and I hope I haven't got it wrong, but there has been cases where white South Africans, whose ancestors came from Britain originally, have been deported back to South Africa. While at the same time, black South Africans are all over London.
Yeah.
I mean, this kind of stuff can just drive you insane. We talked about it in a previous recording. How the hell do we end up with a government ruling elite that just want to destroy us, not just in Britain or America, but at the same time all across Europe? You know, when I first met a lot of Scandinavian people through a job that I had, I naturally assumed that Norway and Sweden, these countries, wouldn't be affected with mass immigration, because why should they? I was brought up being told that, well, Britain colonized, you know, 2/3 of the world, and how can we turn around and now, when we've been to all the other countries, how can we stop and come to our countries? Then I found out that I met Norwegian people, and they also had mass immigration.
Yeah.
And so in Germany and Sweden and Belgium and so on.
Yeah,
it's quite incredible.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's why most white countries have immigration. So in America, they say, well, you know, Americans, they took the land away from Indians. That might seem as a genuine point. So, okay, if you have taken the land away from an indigenous people, whatever that is, then uh-huh. You have to have immigration. Okay, but that means that Germans, they can be an all-white country. You think anti-racists or anti-whites would say that's okay?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, of course not. Then they come up with another excuse and talk about Hitler and Holocaust and so forth and so on. And if you point out, well, France and Britain, okay, they didn't take their land away from anyone. They didn't support Hitler, so what should it be with them? You know, and then they talk about the colonies or something.
Yeah, and slavery, because Britain wasn't involved at some time. Britain's quite unique in slavery, because we were the first country, I believe, in the whole of history to actually outlaw slavery. But anyhow, the fact that we do have some history of practicing slavery, So then you get to the Norwegians. Now, Norwegian anti-whites have really got to think outside the box.
Yeah, I found some anti-whites said that during, Norway was part of Denmark several hundred years ago, and Norway supported some troops down in Africa along the British or something.
Yeah.
And therefore we must have immigration. Or or we have an indigenous people in the north called the Sami people.
Sami. Yeah.
Yes. So, but Iceland, that's even worse. Now, the anti-whites have to be real creative to come up with some kind of justification for Iceland, because the Icelandic people, they didn't take the land away from anyone, and they didn't support Hitler, and they never had colonies or slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So they say they have an aging population, low birth rate. Aha. Uh-huh. Well, then you can have more white babies, but that's racist. You can't have that.
So they must take in more non-whites into Iceland.
Yeah, and then you have Japan, which is a sort of interesting example, because they had colony. I think that Korea or something. And they supported Hitler.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they have a low birth rate. They have a high standard of living, but they don't have all that much immigration of non-Asians.
Mm-hmm.
But, you don't get rid of white people by mixing Japanese with Africans, so why bother?
Yeah, there's also the famous one I think I told you about. This happens to be a Norwegian. It was a Norwegian anti-white. And his argument was he couldn't tell a Norwegian stone from an African stone. And therefore, how could a country like Norway stop millions of Africans from coming to Norway? He actually said to me, and I'm not making this up, I know I've talked about it with you before.
Yeah.
That if you put two stones or two rocks in one in each hand, that he couldn't tell which rock was a Norwegian rock and which piece of rock came from Africa. And that was how he tried to justify mass African immigration into Norway.
Yeah. It's so funny because they always come up with this
incredible stuff.
Yeah, you have hundreds of different anti-whites, and they each have their own theories and ideas, and all of their ideas just happens to lead towards a future with no white people.
Yeah, all of their ideas are about the genocide of a particular race of people.
Yes. And if you argue with them, so, you know, you throw the mantra at them and then you argue some. And then if you say, well, we must secure the existence of our race and the future for our white children, for example, then they might say, well, okay, if you want to do that. But if you just say those 14 words out in the street, you know, then of course racism will come to you. You will,
yeah.
Or the accusation.
Just a little.
Yeah. Okay, go on.
Important point, just before I forget. You used an example before of when you talk about, well, for example, should we replace all the black people in Africa with Chinese people? I know we spoke about it before, but in case anyone's not aware of it, always play one non-white group off against another. Never. If you're arguing with an actual anti-white online, never give an example like, what if we replaced all the black people in Africa with white European people? Because that sort of triggers the program. It's like Horace said, you had certain keywords they can. If you're talking with a white anti-white and you use an example of replacing all the blacks in Africa with Chinese, somehow it sort of jams up the actual programming or the actual brainwashing, and it's 10 times harder for them to come back at you. I just thought I'd better mention that. I know that David Duke gave an example in one of his recent videos where he talks about whites replacing blacks in Africa, but David Duke's playing on an entirely different level, and he can actually do that. But with ourselves, where it's sort of up close and personal, one-on-one, and a internet chat room, etc. Just don't fall into that trap. It's different if you're like David Duke and you're like a well-known person and you're actually dealing on a very high media level.
Yeah.
But
if you're holding a speech or something.
Yes, exactly. Or if you're having a debate on television, the anti-white you're debating with, you can't insult the intelligence of a few million viewers. But when it's one-on-one, which is like our sort of what we do, if you like, we're like street level, be aware of the little tricks. I think Horace summed it up very well, and he said certain key words will trigger like a $500 billion buzzsaw of brainwashing in their programming. And so try to avoid them. Always play the Chinese off against the Africans, etc.
Yes, and if you say the white race, you could also immediately say a Nazi wants to kill 6 million Jews, the way it's used in the mantra, maybe.
Yeah, because I agree. Then,
you short circuit or whatever Horace talked about.
Yeah.
You're saying the assumption, you're saying what everyone thinks about, and it's funny. And I've experienced, if I said it at some party or something, the people laugh at it. Because it's so true, you know. If you protest immigration, you're a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews.
That's definitely. And just in case anyone hasn't got the distinction, in our first few recordings, we talked about sort of debate strategy. And I kept pointing out that it doesn't interfere with the actual message of the mantra, or indeed what Horace was speaking about. And I know you're already aware of this, Adelheim, but in case anyone hasn't got it yet, for example, we talked before about how to actually label somebody, like a sort of label raiser, label somebody in a question. So if I said, well, as an anti-white, how do you feel about mass immigration? So I've labelled you as an anti-white, and I've also asked you a question. It just makes it, it's just been a bit street smart, a bit clever.
Yeah, I think you summed up the difference very well when you said, because if you use your these techniques you're talking about, and if you say, as an anti-racist, what do you so-and-so, then you're then, off message.
What you've actually done then is, it's exactly the same technique, but it's something that's very
conscious. Off message.
Completely off message and actually quite dangerous to start doing that.
Yeah.
So that's the difference between a technique, you know, about labeling people in the form of a third party or labeling somebody in the form of a question or etc. And an actual message. So in both cases, the technique is actually identical.
Yeah, but if you if you come up to the level where you look at these people as just stupid people, a lot of these techniques just comes naturally, I think.
Yeah, it definitely does.
Because if you just understand that, okay, these are just anti-white people, they're just against their own race. They don't understand that we need children to survive. I mean, they're that stupid.
Yeah.
you lose the respect for them.
You do. One thing that I like, it just sort of works with me, I don't know, but I try to imagine what it'd be like to meet a black African who honestly believes that in order to avoid racism, all the black people in Africa must be replaced with Chinese people. Now, I'm trying to imagine how dumb a black African living in Africa would have to be. Not only believe it, but to actually attack his fellow black African and accuse his fellow black African of being racist for even questioning it. I mean, these people...
evil.
At some level, these people are either incredibly shallow and selfish and whatever, or they really are very dumb. They can be very clever and creative in other ways, you know, and they can give you a hard time in debate because they're mostly parroting stuff that's already been pre-programmed into them and stuff that's been pretty well thought out. But I mean, we talked before about using like a label raiser. So as an anti-white, how do you feel about open borders? But you'll notice anti-whites do this all the time. How many times have you seen an anti-white say something like, so how do you white supremacists think you're better than everybody else?
Yes. Go on opposing use action on Stormfront, you'll see it.
Yeah, you'll see it. I'll say something like, so why do you racists hate people just because of their skin color? That's a perfect label raiser. I mean, what's the definition of a racist? Somebody hates somebody because of their skin color. So why do you racists hate people because of their skin color? And they do it all like this. They're not natural born political whatever geniuses.
Why do you anti-whites hate us because of our skin color? And call it a mantra.
Yeah, I did. We talked about it before, when you start seeing these people for what they really are, and a lot of the answers do just come by themselves.
Yeah, I feel like that. So, but another thing, if I say, Lord Nelson, we must learn from history, what are you thinking about then? What is the pictures you get in your head?
Learn from history?
Yeah, at least in Norway, we have this, they're saying, oh, we must learn from history, not discriminate, and so forth. Do you have that in America or England too?
No, I'm not aware of that. Because Norway doesn't have a history of colonization or slavery or anything, they've got to find some pretty unique stuff to, some pretty mind-bending stuff to use against the Norwegian people.
Yeah, well, I mean, in Norway, it sort of means we must learn from history, not discriminate, and then and we must have open borders and take care of everyone and intermix.
Right, yeah. It probably brings up, it's probably designed to trigger memories of the Holocaust, because we're all constantly programmed with Holocaust propaganda right from school, aren't we?
Yeah.
This, we're talking about history. Again, I've got this image in my head of some black African guy trying to argue that all blacks in Africa must be replaced with Chinese people.
Yeah.
It kind of makes me laugh. But again, when you're debating these people, I talked about it on one of the forums recently. It's always nice to remember that in the end, I know it's not easy, but in the end, anti-whites do have the hardest job, because at the end of the day, they've always got to try to justify the genocide of a specific race of people, even if half of them don't realize that's what they're doing. That's what their programming is making them do. So when you think about it, I know it isn't always easy, but when you think about it, we do have the easy job. And so it's really not allowing ourselves to be tricked into putting ourselves on the spot. You know, if I'm debating you now and I am a pro-white, and let's say you're, for example, you are an anti-white, I don't have to justify to you why I have a right to exist, or why it's your job, if you like, whether you are aware of it or not, your actual job is to try to justify the ethnic displacement and construct genocide of a particular race of people. And so when you have that psychology right and you understand it when you're going into a debate, I'm not saying it makes things too easy, but it does help a lot not to feel obliged to have to justify anything or explain anything.
I think it's really, it's easier to get good answers if you understand the anti-white mentality and you don't really have respect for them.
Yeah, yeah. It's quite amazing how they've been sort of trained to use certain things. Like you gave the example before of an anti-white asking you to come up with a definition of race. And it's funny how they twist it around and put us on the spot. I mean, if you were there trying to argue that all the black people in Africa should be replaced with Chinese people, then it might be a valid question. But the fact, it's amazing how they turn it around and put the onus on us. And we've been falling into that trap for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 decades. And it's really time to knock it on the head and start turning this around and putting it in the right direction. You know, next time you're debating with an anti-white, just keep it in mind. You know, these people have a job to do, and they're the ones that have to try to justify the constructive genocide of a particular race of people. Not us. They have that job, even though most of them probably don't realize it because they're so brainwashed. So I'm not saying I'm not saying you still won't get stuff thrown at you that's kind of so out there.
But just try to bring it back to the mantra and make points.
Yeah, yeah, it's what we talked about before. I mean, we're talking about sort of techniques and but I've already made the example of the difference between a technique and a message. So yeah, keep it in mind, the actual message that we're here to do. I think just being a bit clever with how we word things and being aware of things, if we do it right, will help us to stay on message, because, you know, you could go to a chat forum and you could post the mantra, but then if you're not aware of a simple little rule like he who asks the questions controls the conversation, then very quickly you're going to get pulled off message and you're going to get tied down and controlled. But if you start with a mantra and you're aware of these things, then you're not going to get pulled off the message so easily, and you're going to stay on message.
And in Stormfront, I've seen a lot of people ask, or that have found a way of saying that, well, it's not just white countries have immigration, it's also Arabic states or African states have immigration, and therefore the mantra isn't right, and so forth and so on. But of course the point is that only white countries is where it's forced and promoted. And if the Ivory Coast cuts off immigration, no one is going to talk about neo-Nazi sentiments rising in Senegal or the Ivory Coast.
And
it doesn't really matter, you know. We want white survival, and white people are still going to die out whether Senegal has immigration from Saudi Arabia or not.
Yeah, but also it's because we're actually using the mantra and attacking them. They're trying to sort of worm out of it. We all know it's nonsense. I mean, a few million black Africans moving from one country in Africa to another country in Africa. It's not that there's no ethnic, there's not a racial element to it. It's a bit different. Of all the major races in the world, only the white race is being ethnically displaced in their own countries. You know, on present demographic trends, Asians are not on course to become an ethnic minority in Asia. And Africans are not on course to become an ethnic minority in Africa. It's only white countries, only white people in only white countries. We obviously know this, of course, but what you're just giving is an example of how they can just pull something out of nowhere. Just like...
Yeah.
You know, they talked about it before. I mean, anti-whites will get upset about racism, and they will, you know, like it's worse than murdering a child. And then suddenly they'll become very blasé and not understand what race is and not really care and blah, blah, blah. So they can be very hard to corner. We spoke about it before, but I don't think we spoke about it during one of our recordings. One of the YouTube videos, the one made by the Jewish anti-white regarding the mantra, I posted a couple of standard things there, you know, anti-racist is a code word for anti-white, etc. And this anti-white, who I don't believe is Jewish, might have been, it wasn't the guy that made the video. He answered me and started off by challenging me to define the white race, and then warned me that I would lose that challenge, and then called me an uneducated F-U-C-K. And so I started replying to him, and he actually broke down very, very fast. I mean, usually they're a lot more hard work than this, but within a couple of exchanges, he completely wilted. And then sort of went into defensive mode, what I call idiot savant, which is basically acting dumb, and started pretending that, well, Europe is for the European people, that's their homeland, and this is a guy who was arguing that white people didn't exist a few posts earlier. And I could have carried on with it, but at the end of the day, there's only so many hours in the day, and I kind of proved the point, and from where I was at, I mean, honestly... If you had a house that you can't sell, I'll go back to the guy and sell him your house for you, because he had nothing. I mean, I could have took the guy anywhere I wanted to take him. He had nothing, absolutely. He was completely out of his depth. Just by staying on message, using the mantra, and not playing his stupid game. That's all it was. And a little bit of street smarts regarding how to, you know, debate with people. Ask the questions, control the conversation. And don't, you know. But in the end, it could have gone on forever. Because he got very defensive and started to become very abstract. And went from being very direct and challenging me to prove the existence of the white race, warning me I'm going to lose the actual debate in advance, and calling me an uneducated F-U-C-K to, well, I just believe that white people are native to Europe, that's where they should go, and I just want everybody to live together, and, you know, the white privilege thing is about past wrongs in the past, and, you know, it just became very, very vague, and very, he was just protecting himself. I mean, the guy just lost it, basically, but the point of the matter is, they will sort of, I just hate white anti-whites, period. That's it.
Yes, they're stupid.
They are stupid, but they're also, I mean, there's actually stupid people in this world that I do quite like, but they're not even likable stupid. They're the most horrible, dishonest, stupid kind of stupid that you could possibly imagine. So there you go. I can't think of anything nice to say about them, but we've already spoke about that. An interesting thing that came out during that small exchange with that anti-white as well was Bob Whitaker mentioned it actually a couple of years ago on Stormfront, and it's so true. It's as if every single anti-white has been pre-programmed to simply demand massive non-white immigration into their particular white country. So the moment the guy started talking about Europe being the homeland for white people, it was obvious this was not a European anti-white. He happened to be an American, and amazingly, they will play that game. It's a lot harder for European anti-whites, but American anti-whites will use that. Well, we can all go back to Europe, that's where we come from. But America was taken from the American Indians, and it's not a white country.
It's so, the same thing with the indigenous people, as I mentioned before, that anti-whites protect the indigenous people if the indigenous people aren't white, if they're Indians or Aborigines or something else. If it just happens that in Britain white people are indigenous, and you can't protect indigenous people in Britain.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That's what they do. I once had a debate with a Norwegian anti-white, as it happens, who started off by arguing, well, come from Africa, and then went on to mention how the native people of Norway are the Sami. And so the natural question to ask was, well, why are you saying that? Do they not all come from Africa and originally as well? And it's amazing when you catch them. You can sometimes just catch them cold. But they still won't get it. They still won't get it.
Yes, they're programmed. They have this anti-white mentality. So deep down, that they just must argue for something that happens to lead towards white people dying out.
Yeah, I mean, somebody should sort of catalogue all these contradictions and how ridiculous they all are. And maybe at some point in the future, people will look at them and laugh. You know, yeah. I look forward to that day when it becomes part of mainstream culture, just to laugh at some of the nonsense. It is, I mean, actually, it isn't funny because it is really, really damaging us. But hopefully, I look forward to a day when it's kind of like, I look forward to a day when part of the English language is a phrase like, there's nothing dumber than a white anti-white. Oh, so, when it becomes like an everyday phrase used.
They just take whatever they have and then try to twist it in an anti-white way. So when they talked about diversity, oh, we must have diversity. And then they talk about we're all going to be mixed and one race and one culture or something. But diversity is really great, and multiculturalism is great, and we're all going to be mixed one day. And that's great too. And
We're all going to be the same.
Doesn't matter, but if all people, if there's something all white, then it's terrible.
Yeah. Well, I was talking with another pro-white that you know from Sweden yesterday, and he was saying how he's from a big city in Sweden. It's very so-called multicultural. And he visited London, and it was exactly like when he was in Sweden. He saw the same people, the same mixed multiculture, the same. And it's true. I know, what is the point if you live in London going to visit Stockholm or Paris? What do you think you're going to see? You're just going to see the same. And they are managing, I mean, I'm sure, I went around 50 years ago, but I'm sure 50 years ago, if you visited all the big cities of Europe, you know, you went to London, and then you went to Paris, and then you went to Oslo, and Berlin and Stockholm and these cities, you would see distinct cultural differences and so on. Today, if you went to those cities, you'd have a hard job knowing which city was which. If I just took a photograph of central Stockholm and a photograph of central London and put them side by side, you'd have a hard job telling which city was which. They're all the exact same mishmash of different odd job races and cultures.
Yeah, you know, you can't tell a British stone from a Swedish stone, they would say.
Yeah, no, there's a thing now. It's an example of something that is completely so abstract. And there's a very simple formula, and I'm not saying that there's not something better out there. And if you thought a little thing to have in your armory, I know that you're aware of it, Adelheim. If somebody says something to you crazy like that, you know, I can't tell an American stone from an African stone. A very simple way of dealing with it, just to have off the top of your head, is, so are you arguing that all the blacks in Africa could be replaced with Chinese people because you can't tell an African stone from a Chinese stone? Or is it only white people you use that argument against? I don't know.
As I said, I just use, you know, so you're saying that white people don't have a right to exist because you can't see the difference between some stones?
Yeah, that's an even better one, because you're just pointing out the stupidity of it. And if my answer is
to most everything. Yeah. So white people don't have a right to exist because we all bleed red, or white people don't have a right to exist because we all came from Africa, or we all came from the sea, or white people don't have a right to exist because we're the human race, or. Is that what you're saying? You know, you just take so white people don't have the right to exist, and insert here whatever they're saying.
Yeah, and it's actually good because it's not an argument like that doesn't deserve to be taken seriously. So just by repeating the argument back to them with an actual question built in is even better. And can you not see how people might think you're actually just anti-white?
Yeah. Well, it just looks that way to me, because everything you people say just leads towards a world without white people, so you can say something like that.
Yeah, a way that of putting it is as well is well, can you not see what people might think, that you're just anti-white? And by putting it that way, you're still being confrontational, you're still taking them on, but you took yourself out of the confrontation, so I'm not saying it. I'm just saying, can you not see how other people might say that? And it just makes it 10 times harder for someone to come back at you, because it's just little tricks. But the important thing is staying on message and keep on taking the fight back to these people.
Yes, I think that understanding the anti-white mentality. No, don't take them serious. When they say that, well, we should interbreed with Africans because it's good for our DNA, they're not interested in our DNA.
No. And it'd be really dumb to take that serious and start getting into a long-winded conversation about DNA and genetics and stuff like that.
Yeah. And when they want the definition of the white race, they're not interested in a definition or talking about race. They're just interested in saying, well, there is no such thing as white people, and therefore we can destroy you without being genocide.
Yeah, that is what they're doing. There's also something else going on there as well, which we spoke about, is they're actually switching the onus and putting the onus on us. Obviously, we don't let them get away with it, but as well as trying to justify the genocide of white people by claiming they don't exist in the first place, when they do it like that, as an actual question, you know, prove to me the white race exists. We spoke about it in the first recording about he who asks the questions controls the conversation. Don't be tricked into feeling under any pressure to have to justify the existence of the white race. You know, an example that you just gave us a minute ago, which to me works pretty well. So are you saying that all the whites in Europe could replace with black people because white? I don't know. It's basically, are you justifying genocide by by arguing that the white race doesn't exist. You know? And you could even stick a label on it. So as an anti-white, are you saying that you believe there's no such thing as white people? Or as an anti-white, are you saying the white race doesn't exist? And all you're doing is not letting them take control and throwing the question back. You know, it's an idea.
Yeah, and pointing out contradictions is very great. Well, you just talked about white people in the last post, and now you're saying we don't exist. It seems like, you know, it seems to me that what you want is to, you want a world without white people, or without white people. And that's why you're blaming everything bad on us in one post, and you're saying we don't exist in the next, when someone is arguing that he wants to preserve white people. And just make some points, and try to keep it short. At least I find that to be effective.
Yes, again, it goes back to the actual control thing about asking questions and having control and actual, there's a law of efficiency that comes into it. You know, if I ask you a question, it's only one sentence long and has less than a dozen words in it, and you've got to type out a 15 paragraph essay to reply to my one sentence half a dozen word question, you're actually losing that debate. You know, and you it's only a matter of time. It would be like two boxers in a ring, and one boxer lands with every second punch, and the other boxer's got to throw five punches to land one punch. I mean, the fight's not over there, but the actual advantage is with the guy who's landing the biggest percentage of punches. So keep it short, keep it sweet. Don't feel obliged that you've got to go into explaining anything. The onus is on the anti-whites. They have the job of trying to justify the genocide of a specific race of people.
Yeah, and I also used to use some time on each answer to get it short, because I feel like it's better to have fewer answers, and that each answer actually gives a great point, but it's short. So at least that's my tactic.
Yeah, that definitely. Just to explain to people, we decided we'd just have a general chat and not try to go too much into debate and techniques and stuff like that. Inevitably, we do talk about it, but again, it's like a little thing. Like an anti-white might come up with something like "define white" with a question mark at the end, you know, if you're debating. Now that is a two-word question, and a very quick way to come back at that is "define stupid" question mark.
But then you don't make any points.
You don't, and obviously you're not staying on that. I'm just going to give an example of, again, I try not to talk about too much about the message and stuff. I don't feel qualified. I'm just giving examples of actual how things work when you're actually debating and stuff like that. The point is, if someone asks you a two-word question, define white, and you have to go into a long, you know, 500-word reply, you might answer it and you might make some points, but to be honest with you, the guy's just playing with you.
If you say something like, well, it's the same people that get blamed for racism.
Yeah, or you could reply with, you know, define white. The people that anti-whites blame for the Holocaust, slavery, and then try to argue don't actually exist. Something like that. And you know, if you can get it, and if you can get a reply into like a dozen words, it will work.
Define a house, Lord Nelson.
Yeah, define a house. Exactly like I said, you know, define stupid. The beauty of
don't you know what a house is, Lord Nelson? You can't define it.
A house is a social construct. Again,
it's a house, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, again, if a two-word question, define white with a question mark, if you can get a reply into two words that also makes a point, etc., and great. You may have to go into a few more words from that, but, you know, define white, define stupid. I mean, yeah. I'm just saying, it's just a way of coming back at people. But I guess it's better to say something like, you know, white is the people that are anti-whites always seem to acknowledge existence of when blaming them for the Holocaust or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Make a point in each answer. So, okay. Do you have any more points to make?
Nope. I quite enjoyed a little chat, Adelheim. And so, we'll sign off now, and I'll catch you later on.
Okay.